This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
I'm Robert Siegel, and now to the NPR Cities Project. In recent weeks, we've heard about ethnic groups and the urban economy. Well, today a story about efforts to capitalize on a city's diversity. Aurora, Colorado, now bills itself as majority-minority, with 115 languages spoken by students in the public schools, and some want to use the city's increasing diversity to its economic advantage. We're going to talk in a moment with one scholar who's written about diversity as a key to a vibrant economy, and we'll start with reporter Megan Verlee of Colorado Public Radio, who will tell us a bit about Aurora.
If that name sounds tragically familiar, it's because Aurora is where this summer's mass shooting at the movie theater took place. But there's so much more to this Denver suburb. Just ask Ethiopian immigrant Fukada Balcha.
In our apartment there are Russians, Mexicans, Africans. Africa, when you say Africa, from different countries, from Ethiopia, Somalia, Nigeria, and something like that.
I'm outside of Balcha's apartment on Aurora's north side, a dense neighborhood of squat brick apartment buildings and tiny homes. This area is full of immigrants seeking a low-rent introduction to America. Aurora is a giant sprawl of a city. Drive a few minutes down the road and you see split-level middle-class houses. A few more minutes and you're into shiny new subdivisions. It can take work to make a city this big feel like home. I recently went to an event designed to help with that and ran into city manager George No. He says diversity is a big part of Aurora's identity.
If you think about the melting pot that we have right here in Aurora, that's what makes our country rich, that's what makes our community rich. The challenge is obviously figuring out ways to build on that.
That's not always easy, because the truth is, the most ethnically diverse part of the city also has a lot of problems. Poverty, transience, crime. To get people to put down roots in a community, they've got to feel comfortable. That's what this meeting is about, getting them comfortable with law enforcement. Aurora Police Chief Daniel Oates welcomes the crowd, flanked by a half dozen different interpreters.
And then you will learn more about our department tonight, and we continue to work on our relationship together.
Well, trusting the police is one part of turning this neighborhood around. Tonight has a deeper goal, to get residents to trust each other. Bhutanese refugee Kadar Katiora has come to a number of events like this with his neighbors.
Before, I am also new and they are also new. We are quite scared to talk with each other. But right now, they all are our friends. They are like our relative. We are living as a brotherhood to each other.
That sense of brotherhood is no accident. It's something Aurora's leading nonprofits have been working on for years. To find the woman leading the effort, you just have to leave the police meeting and walk a few blocks down busy Colfax Avenue until you get to a nondescript brick office building just off on a side street.
Hi, I'm Jenny Poole Radway, and I'm the program coordinator for the original Aurora Community Integration Collaborative.
To help build community, Poole Radway picked what might seem like an odd tool. She's organizing immigrants and refugees into neighborhood watch groups.
If people feel safe in their community, if they get to know their neighbors, even if they don't speak the same language, they're going to want to better their community and stay here.
And staying here means that as these newcomers move up economically, they'll hopefully bring the neighborhood up with them.
That's reporter Megan Verlee in Aurora, Colorado. We'll hear more from her in a few minutes. First, we're going to turn now to urbanist and scholar Richard Florida of the University of Toronto. His book, The Rise of the Creative Class, linked diversity and creative occupations to the economic rebirth of city neighborhoods. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you.
Has Aurora, Colorado got it right here?
Well, I think so. I think that more diverse places get a lot of energy, and there's a fabulous study by an economist. He's an Italian, but he teaches in the United States at the University of California at Davis. His name is Giovanni Perry. And Perry finds that on the one hand, we get very high-skill immigrants doing computer programming or biotech engineering. But on the other hand, we get very low-skill immigrants who do jobs that Americans might not want to do. But he says they bring complementary skills. They bring new ways of looking at problems or doing things. So a diverse community is a community that has a lot of energy, and it also can have a lot of upward mobility. So I think it's a good thing to find this kind of diversity in places like Aurora, Colorado.
We're talking about inevitably an organic process of immigrants arriving, communities taking shape, businesses developing. Can a community actually say, hey, let's gamble on the immigration that we've received here, and let's promote it as a virtue of Aurora, Colorado?
Well, I think so. I think that what we know is that places that have had large and diverse waves, maybe not homogeneous waves of all low-skill immigrants from one part of the country or a border town that's flooded with low-skill, low-wage immigrants who might not have work. But when you look at the kind of immigration that was just talked about, 100 variants of languages, that kind of diversity tends to come with a lot of energy, may not be a lot of college degrees. It may be some, but it comes with a lot of energy and a lot of ambition. And communities that have more of this ethnic diversity, controlling for other factors, tend to do better. And certainly, you mentioned that I'm an American who teaches at the University of Toronto. I mean, your average Torontonian would tell you 30 years ago, Toronto was kind of a boring place. But Toronto went out, looking at what happened in the United States, and really went out to attract immigrants. It's now a minority-majority community. And I think most people report, even though there are problems and struggles and crime, and certainly not all immigrants are doing high-skill work, some of them feel trapped in low-wage jobs, but on balance, it has created an enormous economic pathway for the community and led to waves of entrepreneurship and business formation in a more thriving, diverse climate. And I'm just happy to see it happening in smaller suburban towns like Aurora.
Well, Richard Florida, let's return now to Megan Verlee's story to hear about the challenge in Aurora, Colorado, of involving minorities in the civic and commercial life of that city. Nearly a third of Aurora's businesses are minority-owned. That's a potential economic powerhouse some in the city are trying to tap.
At La Cueva Mexican Restaurant, enchiladas sizzle on the griddle for a mid-afternoon diner. In the front of the house, owner Alfonso Nunez stands ready to greet patrons. When he's not at his post, Nunez spends a lot of time trying to organize Aurora's immigrant and minority businesses. His pitch to them is simple.
You know, this way at least you'll have a voice. And if 60 members of a business association show up at a city council meeting, then it becomes a concern.
That matters more to Nunez because Aurora's entire city council's white. After several failed election bids, he's hoping economic organization could make up for a lack of political clout. Aurora has had some black and Hispanic politicians over the years, but not in numbers that reflect their share of the population. Nunez's efforts are part of ongoing outreach by the Aurora Chamber of Commerce. Chamber President Kevin Hogan says across the country, groups like his have struck out in their bids to bring in more immigrant and minority members.
It just seems like there's this roadblock out there. Why are we not, even after maybe a generation, getting a little bit more involvement? And so nobody seems to have that answer. I think if anybody did have that answer, it'd be very valuable.
One possible payoff? It could help sell the city as a cultural destination for people seeking international experiences in the Denver area. Despite its intense ethnic diversity, in the eyes of the rest of the state, Aurora suffers under the stigma of being a vast, bland suburb.
It's like, you live in Aurora? I'm so sorry.
Adrian Miller is a soul food historian and Aurora native.
I always rise to the defense of my town. I say, hey, Aurora's got a lot of stuff going on. You just don't know, because you don't even go out there.
I met Miller and some foodie friends for lunch in an Indian restaurant to talk about Aurora's efforts to promote what he calls culinary tourism. Of course, first we had to do some of it ourselves.
Try more fish if you'd like, or try more eggplant. This eggplant's really good.
The tourism office here recently commissioned a guide to try to lure people who live around Aurora into exploring the city's ethnic and independent eateries. This place specializes in southern Indian fare from Kerala and Tamil Nadu. And the guide's author, Rebecca Caro, is at the table with us. Caro is white, and she says getting white diners into restaurants like this can be tough.
Like, oh, if I come in and I'm the only white person, am I going to be welcomed? And am I going to feel comfortable? And or are they going to, like, feel angry that we're invading their space? I would say, like, every experience that I've had is that people are so excited to share about their culture.
Adrian Miller, who's black, says food is a gentle start to the tough and ticklish work of building cross-cultural ties.
A lot of times people don't experience a lot of folks from another culture, may not become friends with them, may not be in their home, but they feel if they come to a place like this, they can start to at least make that first foray into finding out what that culture's like.
On the official level, the big money in Aurora is still focused on big development projects, like a medical research campus and a possible convention center. It's down at the ground level where a lot of people are hoping their individual efforts will eventually change Aurora's image from Denver's sprawling suburb to a vibrant and worldly community in its own right and find the key to making ethnic diversity an economic driver. Sampling a plate of fish curry and fried okra at Jai Ho Restaurant in Aurora, Colorado, Megan Verlee for the NPR Cities Project.
And listening to Megan's report with us is author and urbanist Richard Florida. And Richard Florida, what do you think? Does Aurora have a chance of actually becoming Aurora, worldly city in Colorado, or is it frankly destined to a suburban identity as Aurora, a place near Denver?
It's a great question. A couple of things come to mind. The first is the fact that when the fellow said, you know, it's hard to get immigrants involved. And that's true. You know, the last thing my own Italian grandparents wanted to be was involved in the municipal life of Newark. They wanted to make a living. And, you know, in Robert Putnam's studies of social capital, he finds that immigrant communities tend to be low in terms of social and civic involvement. That's because they're busy. They're trying to harness the American dream. But what I liked about that is the fellow saying, we're trying. And in my book, Rise of the Creative Class, I say we have to proactively try to include people, especially from immigrant communities who might not be inclined. The second point that I really quite enjoyed was the point about using food. Food is a way of not only feeding oneself, but of starting a restaurant and making money. And in his book on food, the economist at George Mason, Tyler Cohen, points out that if you want to find interesting food in Washington, D.C., interesting ethnic food, you have to head to the suburbs where the really interesting Vietnamese and Ecuadorian dining is. So I think there's a little bit of a possibility, but I think it's certainly a long stretch for Aurora to be a globally cosmopolitan destination. But can it be a better Aurora? Can it use food to lure in people from the center city? Of course it can. And it probably is a lot better payoff for the dollar, as Megan said, to do those small, locally grown, organic, up-from-the-bottom exercises than to try to build these giant top-down, whether they're factory-attracting or convention center building or medical center complex creating. It's the small stuff that tends to pay off a lot more, and I think Aurora has that right.
Well, Richard Florida, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Richard Florida, senior editor at The Atlantic Magazine, where he's co-founder of the Atlantic Cities website. His book is The Rise of the Creative Class, and you can follow the NPR Cities Project on Twitter at NPR Cities.